It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Mets would be interested in Alcantara if he were available, which is not really a surprise nor a report, but getting quotes from a lot of the players here, it kind of spins it forward. Manaea obviously going to be shut down from throwing for 2 weeks with the inflammation in his oblique, which makes me a little nervous about what... I can't have any expectations for Manaea anymore after the setback. And without him being a potential ace in that rotation, I think the Mets are going to have to go outside the organization to look for to fill that void. And maybe Alcantara, the guy who they faced last night, would be the perfect fit.
I'm less concerned with Manaea. We did talk about that, obviously, to start the show, so I don't need to rehash it. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app, go check things out. Alcantara is very, very interesting. And what we're going to learn, there's the financial appetite that Cohen has, whether it's a Soto deal, some other stuff. What kind of appetite does David Stearns have to make this happen? Because if we're sitting here saying it could be three top 10 prospects, it could be four top 10 prospects, he's under control almost three years, at least 2.5 more. That is going to be a king's ransom, and the Mets are not going to be, I don't know if the Yankees will be at the table, but I can promise you other teams will be at the table along with the Mets. So is it out of desperation? Is that the time to make the move? The Mets are a little desperate, which could skew their sensibility. I don't know that Stearns would let that happen. But you're going to have 10 teams knocking down their door to get that guy.
Yeah, and the reason why we talked about both the Yankees and Mets, and when a player like this becomes available, number one, it shows the ineptitude of the franchise that has this player. Because when you have a pitcher like this under team control for 3 years, if you are in a spot where you have to move him, you are just failing as an organization. That's the first part of it. But forget about the Marlins because we don't care. Second part of it is when a player like that does become available, if you're not in on him as another organization, you also aren't doing the right thing. Yankees should be in on him. I just don't know if it would be smart to give up the amount of resources that it would take to get him when you've already invested a lot financially in that starting rotation. And I don't think the Yankees need him as much as the Mets do. Obviously, it would make him better. They'd be fools not to inquire. But I think this is almost the perfect storm for the Mets. Another question would be, are they going to have to pay the NL East tax? Meaning, are the Marlins going to trade Alcantara within the division to the, you know, about to be powerhouse Mets potentially?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really blow their doors off with an offer.
Yeah, and by the way, I think the Braves are knocking on that door as well. And Phillies maybe less, but the Braves pitching is, they lost Fried, Striders, you know, they've got injuries. They've got their, forget it, they haven't won a game yet. And Acuna's not back either. So basically they're going to hit, but I don't know if I love the Braves pitching either in terms of being set up for a while. So They will be there. My philosophy with that is, and I know it's easier for me to say this, but if the Mets or the Phillies and the Nationals and the Braves, anybody in my division, if they offer me a deal that is unequivocally right. better than every other deal, I'm taking it. Listen, if I'm making the decision to trade somebody and rid myself of him from the organization, then it really shouldn't matter where he goes. I mean, once you make the decision, you're not going to pay him. You may as well maximize the return.
You get the best offer that you possibly can. And for those of you who may not be familiar with him, he is a legitimate ace. He missed all of last season with Tommy John surgery. Before that, though, BT, this guy had seasons where he threw 197 innings, 205 innings, 228 innings, and 184 innings. That in today's world is like unheard of, and a career ERA of 3.32. So you are getting a legit ace. I love the way David Stearns has built his rotations, meaning not investing big money in starting pitching. When I used to think the exact opposite, I wanted Verlander and Scherzer and all that. I thought those were the right moves. Clearly, we saw that not work out for the Mets. And in today's day and age, with the way that pitching is used, the minimization of starters going deep into these games, the amount you pay for them, plus with the injuries and, you know, being so volatile year to year, I don't think investing big in starting pitching is the right move. This would be the perfect move, even if it means giving up all their top prospects. You name it. Sproat, Acuna. Jet Williams. Yeah. I wouldn't want to give up Acuna. He'd be the one guy, but I wouldn't let him be the deal breaker if the Mets could go get Alcantara.
Yeah, and oddly, I feel better about it that he's already had Tommy John surgery. Yeah. He's a big boy. 6'5", 205. He's 29, 30, so he's right in that prime spot. Already had the Tommy John surgery, which I said. So what is his best year? Because I have Savant up in front of me, and I'm just looking for something. Was it 21 or 22?
Well, what do you want to go by? Best ERA? Lowest ERA? I would say 2022, he threw, his ERA was 2.28.
What was his whip? I mean, one change or slightly below one? It had to be low ones, if that.
Where am I looking here? Under one.
Under one.
0.98.
Okay. And that's 2022?
That is 2022.
All right, I'm going to use that. I'm looking
at his WAR was 8, led the league.
His WAR was 8?
8 WAR, 2.28 ERA, led the league.
It's filthy.
6 complete games, 1 shutout, 228 and 2/3 innings.
That's a lot of work.
Guy's an animal. 207 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
What is BF?
Batters faced.
Oh, okay. He led the league in that, 886.
What was the opponent's batting average? Do you have that? To me, it had to be like 190, 212. I mean, when you have those numbers, nobody's squaring you up. Yeah, that's probably more on the advanced side. Either way, I just went to Baseball Savant because I wanted to see, you know, I like to look for this, the reds and the blues. I mean, dude, I'm looking at percentiles here, 100 percentile, you know, xERA, xBA, fastball velo, chase, you know, whiff, ball percent, barrel rate, ground ball, everything's 90s or plus. I mean, it's all red. Yeah, I mean, he's an absolute horse, and he's the kind of horse that, he's the kind of horse the Mets are going to eventually need. Whenever the Mets, if the Mets get there to win a World Series, I know it's changed the dynamics of pitching, what you give up to get one, how many contracts you dole out of the big side, the big long variety. It's changed, but it hasn't changed to the point where you can't have any of them.
Right, and also where the Mets are at as an organization. We talked about this before, too, where there are only so many positions that you can field these young players at.
Mm-hmm.
They're locked in with Soto. They're locked in with Nimmo. They're locked in with Lindor. Vientos isn't going anywhere. Pete's here at least for now. And if he's not, I mean, all right, well, that could be a spot that's open up. Maybe Gilbert, whatever. I don't know who they would plan to put at first base. But Alvarez not going anywhere to be their catcher. How many second basemen can you possibly have where you talk about Jeff McNeil, Ronnie Mauricio, Acuna, Beatty? The Mets are, and then Jet Williams potentially. Okay, and could Jet Williams be the center fielder of the future? Maybe, but would you rather the potential of that or getting the known commodity in Alcantara to clearly fill a major void that you have right now?
I think I know my answer, and it's probably getting somebody like Alcantara because you want him when Lindor is in his prime. You want him when you still have Alonso. You want him when you still have Diaz as a closer. You want him when you still have, obviously, Soto, who's going to be in his prime for a while. I would like to know a little bit more about Sproat, like internally. Do they really look at him? Why am I forgetting the kid's name about Tommy John? He came up last
Christian
year.
Christian Scott.
I wasn't incredibly impressed with Christian Scott, but it's a small sample. I'm not going to go nuts. If they love the kid and they love Sproat.
Tidwell, Sproat, I mean, there's a couple of
Tidwell's
names.
Tidwell's a name for sure. Like, if they love these guys, then maybe you're less inclined to give up, you know, 3 or 4 top 10 prospects. But even though you can love somebody, doesn't mean that the instincts are right. So he's going to be dealt. He's going to be dealt this year. There's going to be 10 teams knocking on his door, and I think the Mets will be one of them.
And he's going to be dealt for a boatload.
Yes.
So it's a matter of who's going to be willing to give up that boatload. And, you know, and will the Marlins be willing to do it within the division? We'll see, obviously, what the price of business would be as far as that goes. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We're also talking about the Yankees, BT, to start the, well, not to start the show, but in the first hour. And, you know, it's less about the torpedo bats now after last night was a, you know, an average effort from the Yanks. Volpe going deep again. You saw Ben Rice and Dominguez also hit home runs, which are good signs. The young players so far through the first four games of the season for the Yanks, they have done their job offensively. Obviously a brutal loss, but that's not the biggest thing to come from that. Will Warren was fine. But I think that's the most important thing for me coming into the year was how these young guys are going to project.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of got overlooked because of the torpedo bats in the first series. But the fact that they have those guys producing early on, I think that's a good sign for the Yanks.
I totally agree. Like, you know, listen, things could change fast in baseball. It's a very cyclical sport, but there's nothing that the Yankees did this offseason that looks like they absolutely got it wrong. And it's an incredibly early read. You're not playing the Brewers every night, as we know. But early on, Goldschmidt's got a little life in his hands. Obviously, Javs was a move from last year. He's got a bunch of bombs. He's a big-time athlete. Volpe's got three bombs. Wells looks like the real deal. Obviously, Judge back and right is Judge. Bellinger looks like he is a really, really good player still. Dominguez may be the last to join the party, but at least he went yard last night, hasn't really butchered too many balls in the outfield yet. Will Warren looked really good. He's a young guy. Clark Schmidt will be back soon. You know, Devin Williams, just one appearance. I know he's on the leave right now. A little up and down the opener, but they made a lot of moves this offseason, and most, if not all, right now, again, as early a read as you can have on April 2nd. Looks like they got most of them right.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Dino's in Queens, Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Yo, Sal, BT, what's going on? Big Yankee fan, baby. Listen, this is Boonborg. How many bases have the Yankees stolen? Does anybody bunt on the freaking team to get on? Come on, you can't win on home runs. This is crazy.
You know what's interesting, Dino? I was thinking about this the other day, and, you know, I love that Volpe went yard on opening day. And thanks for the call there, Dino. Appreciate it. I love that. I love that he's got two more. You know, one on the newly adjusted barrel with the torpedo bat, whatever. But I would almost prefer seeing no home runs under Volpe's name and two doubles to right center,
right,
and a double or a hard single or two to left field and two or three steals. Like, the Yankees have not run. Now, that doesn't mean that they're averse to running. I don't think that the Yankees are in a spot. They were this team for a while where they didn't want to risk an out on the base because their numbers said that it's not worth it. When Jazz Chisholm is on base, he's going to run. When Volpe's on base, he's going to run. I think you'll even see Austin Wells try to steal a couple. I think Bellinger's going to run. I think Bellinger does have one. I think he's going to steal a couple this year. I don't think it's a lack of willingness. I think it's a lack of opportunity so far. Yanks will steal some bases.
Yeah, it's only been four games, and the Yankees haven't had to because everybody's hitting home runs. You can't steal if everybody's hitting home runs.
Yeah, and you're not going to steal when you're winning 15-2.
Yeah.
It's unethical. You're just going to go base to base and you know, do whatever you got to do.
We are in the infancy stages of the season here. I know we want to overreact. I love doing it. BT loves doing it. We can't do that, though. Let's see a little bit of a larger sample size. How about a week? Can we have the first week of the season? By the way, I thought it was last night. Was it Suarez who was named the
Player of the Week?
Well, what week? Hasn't even been a week. Player of the Week? Hasn't even been a week yet.
He had a pretty good night with that grand slam, huh?
I mean, I guess, but I'm like, well, a week? They played three games, for goodness sake,
last week.
I think
it was Judge in the AL, right, and Suarez in the NL. I looked yesterday. I think he had four home runs coming in, and, of course, he hit the granny last night. Yeah, but it's still a loss that bothered me because it's the kind of game, even though the home run, that is funny, though.
Play of the weekend, I know.
But, like, there's certain things that kind of resurfaced last night. Again, not going nuts, it's early, but the situational hitting. The Yankees had multiple chances to bust the game open. And really, if Naylor does an airmail one over, underhanded over Burns' head, the Yankees don't even get those two runs in all probability. Two runs scored on that. So that was clearly a gift. I still want to see a little more, I don't mean 1950s baseball, but get them over, get them in. You can't have strikeouts when you got guys on base in less than two outs.
Do you think the torpedo bats would help with bunting?
Yeah, that's interesting. Do I think that they would help with bunting? No, because I think, as a matter of fact, I think it might hurt.
Because you want to get it off the end of the bat when you're...
Well, you know, no, you don't want to get it so much off the end. You still want to kind of catch as much barrel, but you want to deaden it. Like when you square the bun, you almost catch it. I don't want to say like you bring it to your chest like a foot, but you kind of soften it if you guys are watching. Like you kind of you kind of catch it. Like,
yeah, catch the ball with the bat.
Yeah, that's why one of the drills, this is a new drill, you actually, a lot of young hitters are now practicing bunting with a lacrosse stick, catching the baseball in the lacrosse net.
Interesting.
But just to kind of soften those hands, yeah. So if you've got a meatier, more effective barrel, my very elementary guess would be it might be worse for bunting because it's probably a higher rate to get right back to the pitcher. It's tougher to deaden the ball.
Maybe the Yanks will have to come up with some bunt bats. And they want to go there.
You see the memes with the enlarged gloves and out there. Where was the glove for Judge in the World Series? It's like the size of a ride at Great Adventure.
Yeah, oh, it was great. Torpedo gloves coming to Yankee Stadium. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Joe is in Hohokus. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Great show as usual.
Thanks,
so I'm listening to the show, and I know Brandon mentioned four top prospects for Alcantara, which, yes, he's a great pitcher. But four top prospects seems a lot for a guy who just came off Tommy John, who's going to have an innings limit this year because he was hurt last year. And on top of that, he still has to prove he can stay healthy. That's, you know, Tommy John's a big deal. It doesn't happen often. I think DeGrom was like the only one that happened twice to, but four top prospects for an ace seems a lot. And it seems like Stearns, his plan has always been to develop pitching, whether it's his prospects or even free agents. So what do you guys think about that?
I think you raised some good points. I do think that once you get past Tommy John, the odds of having a second, not just DeGrom, there's a few others that have had two, unfortunately, but it's fair. Didn't LaWisega have two? I think LaWisega had a second. I know he had a second elbow procedure. Either way, I don't know if it was just like a little cleanup. I know one was Tommy John. Either way, it's fairly rare. I'm of the mindset, you know, especially when you're a big-bodied player like Alcantara, 6'5", 210, and you do use your legs. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the hell's going to happen with his elbow, but it's a risk that I would take based on his body type, based on his age. And you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. So I would probably do it, but I don't know if Stearns is inclined to think that way. He might not.
It's based on a lot of factors. What he has been in his career, he's not a flash in the pan. The guy has been a workhorse, and at his best, he was the best in the game. So you have that potential. He's had the major injury now behind him, so you worry about that maybe less. Also, from a Mets perspective, where they are at as a franchise, this is a one clear, glaring area of need, a top of the rotation potential ace. Plus, you have those prospects that they haven't been moving for years. At some point, you've got to move those guys because there aren't enough positions on the big league field. With the way that the Mets have spent their money, it'd be different if they were barren everywhere else. I mean, they may have a spot or two to fill. Not all these guys are going to pan out. Not all these guys are going to fill those spots. And even if they do have areas of need in the rotation, would you rather the potential of, let's just say, Sproat?
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather the potential of Sproat or the known of Alcantara?
I would always go with the known, the one variable, and this is where it helps to have Cone as the owner, is that it's less about the money. Like, if Sproat was comparable, then I'd rather have Sproat because you're getting him at 35 cents on the dime, where Alcantara, I don't think you'd give up four prospects like that and then not try to re-sign him for a lot of money. So the money's not the same, even if the talent's comparable. It's a tough question to answer, but it's a good question. What I would be more intrigued with here from a performance perspective, just imagine how invigorated this guy would be going from pitching in front of 9,000 people in Miami to 45,000 lunatics at Citi Field in late September or October. You imagine the juice that would be pumping through this guy's body? Like, he's never experienced that as a pro.
And you would think...
I think there's another level is what I'm saying.
Again, you don't know. I mean, there's a chance that he comes here and, can't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would be the case, especially with the way Soto was talking about him and saying basically that same thing. This guy's doing it on a team that nobody cares and has no chance, and he's competing every single night. You know, imagine the team that gets him that does have a chance. So maybe there is another level to his game.
Well, I want to reread some of the comments here from Soto. So let's see. This was a Soto quote. It will be one of the best trades that we could have. Again, pretty pretty presumptuous a little bit here, but you know, I know we have great pitching here, but adding a Cy Young winner like him would be huge, blah, 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 going to take a lot to get him, blah, blah, blah. Quote, if he goes to a team that has a chance to compete at the end, I think you're going to see who he is. He's doing this on a team that has no serious chance to go to the playoffs, but he keeps trying, competing, even without run support. Wherever he goes to a winning team, you're going to see what Sandy Alcantara is capable of, end quote. Bottom line is this. Players, no players. Dogs, no dogs. Juan Soto is not saying that about somebody. He's dug in the batter's box against him frequently. He knows who he is, what he has from a stuff perspective, and from a stones perspective, quite frankly, okay? And he knows he's the real deal. So when you get a scout, like if Judge was to say that, or Soto, or Mookie Betts, or a player that is at the top of their game, it's not just the stuff. I have to make the assumption that the mental makeup's there as well for that kind of player to give that kind of an endorsement.
And if the Mets were to get him, would that, in fact, complete this team in our mind? Hey, you just get that at random, maybe something in my spine, my back.
Are you a worrier? Are you one of these people who, like, yes. You have all these maladies that you are?
Could you still tell? Could you tell?
You got it from your mom, right?
I'm a hypochondriac. I just... Yeah, I don't know,
you
man.
Usually the Italian moms are like that.
My mom
is like that a little bit growing up.
My father may have been a warrior, but on the inside.
Oh, my dad didn't. No, everything's fine.
Yeah, right.
Not the doctor. Nope, you don't have to go. You're
I
good.
Would never know. And then my mom, I guess, always thinking and worrying. But yeah, physically, I've always been a little bit of a hypochondriac.
Huh.
And then especially after my father got sick, not to bring it like down.
That's different.
But when something like that happens, I'm telling you, I remember I was afraid to drive for a while because I'm like, the fragility of the whole thing, the fragile nature of life is real when something of that significance happens.
Yeah.
But so since then, I'm even worse than I've always been. But as you get older, I think it's natural to feel certain things that you haven't
100%.
Felt before.
Well, you just calculate things differently. Yeah, I mean,
right. You're feeling things left and right. You got the hand issue going on with this. How long are you gonna be wrapped up in the cast?
I'm just so used to it. I honestly, I'm not looking for pity. I am in so much pain for always. Really, going back to when I got in a car accident at 108 miles an hour.
Did you sue?
No, that was I was 17.
Yeah.
Thank God, both of us walked away from it. But from that point forward, I've just always felt pain. Just kind of grind through it.
You're so banged up that we might not even be able to play golf together this summer. Is that accurate, you think?
I haven't touched a club. I put it this way. I hope it's not accurate. Let me address that.
When was the last time you played?
Last time I played was in the fall. Because remember, my country club closed.
I remember you saying that, okay.
So I got a couple of rounds out, like in September, October, maybe even one, maybe,
it closed
or maybe
in the
early
fall?
November. It closed for good.
Okay.
Which sucks. So now I got to go hunting. And listen, it wasn't like one of these stuck up, you know, $150,000 a year country clubs. No, I mean, it was affordable. It was nice. It was a mile and a half from my home.
Probably should have been charging more. Maybe they'd be open.
I know they should have. unfortunately, it was deeper than that. It was a state political thing with housing, whatever.
Right.
But the appeal with that and what is going to make it tough for me to play golf now is that, and not that my wife, she's cool, but to go and play golf, it's different when you go 1.5 miles from your house and you don't have to drive an hour on a Saturday, an hour there. I like to go hit balls early. Hang out, maybe have a beer after it. Mm-hmm. That's three extra hours that you're gone. Yeah. Not to mention all the games that we have, which really doesn't allow me to golf. But I hope I can play. But usually by now, I've been to the range 15, 20 times. I putted. I haven't even touched a club. I can't grip it.
Yeah, it's sad. Jerry and I are going to have to be playing quite a bit, and you'll be on the outside. Hey, who knows, though, with my pinky. I don't know if this is a major issue. All right, before we get back to the phones here, BT, 888-808-1019, we need to clear this up, because Alcantara is the topic of conversation. What?
You know, is this the Evan
something?
Story?
No. Oh, nothing to do with Evan.
Evan's got another opening day dilemma,
well,
of course.
I mean, opening day.
Do I work or I go watch baseball like a 9-year-old?
It is funny how many people...
Just kidding, Ev.
How many people I've seen, whether it's just in public or people texting me, hey, you going opening day? Hey, no, I'm not going opening day. I'm working. I mean, opening day is one of the big... Yeah, it's one of the big days of the year.
Yes,
like,
it is.
I don't know if you know this, but I have a show on SNY that airs after the Mets games. Like, it's a big deal. I'll be here doing the radio show. I look forward to it.
Okay.
I look forward to being on afterward. I loved going opening day. I used to do opening day all the time. It came to an end when I started working around those games. Anyway.
I did go to Yankee opening day.
That was around when I was around work. You're right. Hey, it'd be nice if the Mets invited us out there to do a show one of these days.
It'd be nice if we get Mendy on the show. We've had Boone on twice already. Mendoza, let's go. But finish your thought. You were going to say something.
I'd love to do the show there. No, but Alcantara has been the main topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to clarify how you actually say his name.
Alcantara, I believe, is it.
Not you, not me. We're just callers. We've said it multiple ways here.
Is this like the Calipari thing?
Yeah, exactly. So
I found some guy online who seems to know these type of things. So I'm going to take a listen to hear.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What he says.
Word pronunciation, a word from Spanish, originally Spanish pronunciation, Alcantara.
No, that's not how I'm saying it. I mean, if that's how right? Then I would
Alcantara.
Say it.
Alcantara.
No, he said Alcantara.
Yeah, no, Alcantara. He put the accent a
I think
little
he,
bit.
Can I think, you play it again? I think he has the English version too. Hold
just
on.
Just give me just
I just, no, before you play it up, I think he English puts too much, too much emphasis, too much early on the word. Go ahead.
All right, hold on.
Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Yeah, but I like ours better.
Alcantara? I'm still not. I'm
but hold
still
on, hold on. And I think he has. I think he has like an English pronunciation. If that's
okay, yeah.
Alcantara.
Well, that's the Spanish
English
one.
Pronunciation.
Oh, here we go.
Alcantara.
Oh, well, that's hence the confusion.
Alcantara. So that's what you're saying.
That's
right?
What I was saying. It's also spelled like Alcantara. Alcantara.
Right. All right, so but I actually have the source himself.
Okay.
They have honestly good job by the Marlins. They have a pronunciation guide for. Everybody.
Okay.
So this is actually Shandy Al, whatever his name is, speaking for himself.
I think you got to roll the R at some point. Go ahead.
Sandy Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Sandy Alcantara.
Sandy Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Sandy Alcantara.
There it is.
Okay.
That's
Sandy
him?
Alcantara.
That's actually
Sandy?
Sandy
that's
Alcantara.
That's Sandy.
Okay.
How about this guy?
Lick Bacher.
Who?
Lick Bacher?
That's right.
What are they doing down there? Right? I know they're not winning games. What the hell are they doing behind the closed doors? Lick Bacher.
So one more. Is Alcantara?
Oh, wait,
Alcantara. Alcantara.
Sandy Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Alcantara. So, okay.
You ever take Spanish?
No, I took Italian.
Clearly he didn't take Spanish.
Yeah, I mean...
I remember when I went to high school, right? And
you took Spanish?
I did. Well, okay. I started Latin. You had to take Latin at my school, which, oh God, that was hard.
Yeah.
But there was the option of Latin, which you could do for 4 years, which I never had any designs on doing. More of an entry into Spanish, French, German, Italian. They were fairly diverse options.
Okay.
And I remember, I'm like, I want to take Italian. My dad's like, no. And remember, I'm half Italian.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you're not taking it. I'm like, well, Germany says, no, you're taking something practical that you're going to use in the United States.
And
I took Spanish.
And have you used it?
I really enjoyed Spanish. True story. I was.
Can you say a sentence in Spanish?
I could. I was asked to go participate in a student exchange program in. You want me to hear? I'm going to say it the right way. Madrid.
Oh,
dude, trust me. I'll mess around. It was during baseball season, so I could not do it. I enjoyed Spanish. Now I'm very rusty. But it came, the pronunciations came very natural. I mean, once you learn the conjugations and the words, does it sound right?
So,
and for me, it sounded right.
How do you, certain words? Like if I asked you, how do you say, I don't know, king in Spanish?
I would say Steinbrenner is the...
Yeah, no. That sounded more German to me, to be honest with you. Steinbrenner?
It did. Steinbrenner. It did sound more German. You're right.
Yeah, either way, hopefully... Well, I'm sure that little Spanish lesson right there is still not going to help us. We'll be butchering his name
Alcantara.
All the way until he gets to the...
Alcantara.
So in English, I'm going to say it Alcantara.
Yeah.
Alcantara.
No.
I thought that's what he said. I thought that was the English version. Was it Alcantara?
No, Alcantara. You just don't roll the R in English.
Not Ken Patera.
Yeah. Alcantara.
Alcantara.
Hoff has no idea who Ken Patera is.
I don't.
He's got to.
What card was he?
He doesn't know.
Did he pull him?
He's a wrestler. And an Olympian, by the way. Strongman.
Was he one of the guys that went to jail?
Yes, he did. He did go to jail. He was part of the Bobby Heenan stable. He was part of that Andre the Giant. He had
more than 30 seconds with Ultimate Warrior?
No, he was before Warrior.
Okay, gotcha. No, I don't know.
He might have crossed paths with him. Oh, he was definitely before Ultimate Warrior.
He might have crossed paths with him, but he was a thing before. Probably smacked him around the locker room.
BT.
Sandy Alcantara.
Alcantara. Okay, it's not Alcantara.
It's Alcantara.
Yeah, but
the way he's saying it, Alcantara.
Yeah, but if I'm not going to roll the R's, then I just
roll
say
Alcantara. Roll the R's. Show him some respect,
Alcantara.
Man.
Yeah, but then we got to start doing that with everybody.
Well, yeah, I like it.
Roll the R's?
It's the way you do it.
All right.
It's got to be authentic here, Sal.
Anthony in Bridgewater wants to talk about Sandy Alcantara.
It's good. Hello, Ant.
Go ahead, Ant.
What's up, guys? What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What's up?
I got a lot of pressure now saying Sandy's last name, so I'm just going to say Sandy right now.
I'm going to get stage fright. I'm pronouncing it wrong.
I'm like, please don't pick me first here. Listen, here's the deal. I'm all about him, and I agree with Sal. I kind of went away from the Scherzer and Verlander stuff after a couple years. He's young. He's kind of proven a little bit that he can pitch. He has the Cy Young already, so you know he's pretty good. But the big thing that I want to go over is, last year, when they Mets played the Dodgers, it was evident that they needed a go-to guy. And I still think that's the missing piece for them to win it. And the other big point of this, too, is I think the other thing is you have Lindor in his prime, Soto in his prime, Diaz still, Alonso right now, like you kind of mentioned before. I think you need to get the guy when you have those guys. You have a billion of the same position. Like, where are they going to play? This is the time to train them before they're more exposed. Because let's be honest, every time Brett Beatty goes on the field in a regular season game, his value goes down. You're going to need to train him in the spring training when he has like an OPS of 1,000.
Yeah, he might not be the guy. Thanks for the call there, Ant. We'll see. Hopefully he gets a little runway here and either makes it or he doesn't, just to get an answer. You know, I hear you, and I've said this myself, like on the – you have to try to cash in on the primes. I've said this more specifically because Soto just got to the Mets. I would say this a lot with Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge. Like, you've got to maximize whatever. I don't know what remains is before Cole got hurt. Whatever remains of their prime, you've got to do yourself justice and put yourself in a position to win and more often than not before they fizzle out. And I do believe that because I've said it and I subscribe to it. I think it's less applicable in baseball. I think when you're talking about, like, say, the Knicks or the Rangers, like that, I think the Knicks, and I don't even think they have a championship window this year, I think in theory, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think they've got a 2, max 3-year window with Carl Anthony Towns and Brunson and the guys they have now. Whereas I can't say that about the Mets. I can't say that about the Yankees, even with Aaron Judge eventually getting to his mid-30s.
But if you're trying to build a championship team now, if I ask you what is the one glaring missing piece that might prevent them from competing with the Dodgers at a high level. Forget about the Dodgers because we know that on paper nobody's going to compare with them. But the Mets have a superstar or two in their lineup.
Yep.
They have one of the game's best closers when he's going right.
Mm-hmm.
The rotation is clearly lacking the guy. The Yankees had two, which is why we said this before Cole got hurt. I was saying, I'd probably give the Yankees a better chance to beat the Dodgers, not only because the American League is easier and they could get there, but also I'd rather have the two aces in a 7-game series to match their aces and take my chances as opposed to a lineup that might match them, but not the staff.
Me too, because generally better pitching beats good hitting in October. I agree with that.
Or at least could be an equalizer to a certain extent. The Mets lineup is good, and I feel like we'll get better and still has the potential to do some damage and maybe compete with a team like the Dodgers, even if it's not good on paper. Their rotation cannot. There's no, even if Tylor McGill, Griffin Canning, Kodai Senga, Peterson,
Clay Holmes,
even if they have good seasons, in the playoffs, I don't think those guys against the Dodgers are going to shut them down the way that Oral Hershiser in 1988 shut the Mets
and everybody
down.
Else, by the way. Right. Like the Don Drysdale's 58.
I mean, look at the loaded ace. In the postseason, sometimes you need that guy, and the Mets don't even have anything close to that guy, especially without Manaea, but Alcantara would be that guy.
He would be, but I feel better about the Mets. And again, they could get here. It's so early. It's April 2nd. I'd feel better about the Mets winning. Forget about just the Dodgers. Anybody else in a playoff series. If I knew, and I think, but I don't know for sure. I don't know exactly what their offensive personality is going to be. I know Soto's going to be really good. Yeah. And I do think Lindor gets going. But there are some holes in that lineup. I think that there was just this assumption, and I would have jumped in as well. The acquisition of Soto, based on the success from a year ago, like this natural step forward, yeah, the momentum was nice, but I think they might be short of stick.
Yeah, okay, but I feel like that's easier to go get.
To get?
It's also not, remember, if they're short a stick, it still might not be a big stick. They have already two big pieces with potentially two other big pieces, maybe three if you factor in Nimmo, but I'm counting Pete and Vientos as the 3-4 big pieces. Well, I think that they might be a bat short, but I feel like they could go get that. Whereas the arms, there are only a few. And I'd rather have Alcantara than Dylan Cease, and it's not even close. Alcantara.
There we go. That's good.
It's
that was
fan.
Impressive.
Well, Alcantara.
Ooh, that was even better.
I could do it.
He's got confidence now. He's rolling.
But now we got to do that for everybody. And to Doe's point, it's not Sandy. You can't say Sandy Alcantara. You got to say Sandy Alcantara.
Sandy.
You going to do it or not?
Sounded like some elitist. That's Sandy.
That's how I guess they say.
That was interesting.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We have some breaking basketball news. When we come back,
I'm going to guess it's about Jalen Brunson and when he might return.
It is not. That would be juicy. I don't want to tease the audience that much.
I'm not even going to guess. I mean, but it's interesting.
Interesting enough that I would bring it up.
All right, we'll get to it coming up next. Look forward to it.
Interesting enough that I would bring it up, but not interesting enough that I would just do it now and blow through the break.
Yeah, I got you.
But yes, some breaking basketball news, and it does pertain to the Knicks in some way, shape, or form.
Sounds like a B-minus topic, but that's why we'll get to it coming up next.
Thankfully.
Not his retired number.
Oh,
yeah.
No, they would have been hell to pay for that one.
I would have derailed the show. That's what we would have hit for the next hour and 10 minutes.
Carmelo,
you better get Bernard King up there before you get number 7.
Carmelo officially inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Good for Carmelo.
He
should be.
What is it, Hoff? He will be inducted?
He's been notified that he will be.
All right.
I bet his speech will be good. I think he's a very good personality. I really do go back on some of those and YouTube. Some of those old speeches, I think some of them are really interesting. Listen.
What, the Hall of Fame inductions?
Yeah, okay. I've always enjoyed those. So they pull up somebody, I thought Bird's was great, and Jordan's was very egotistical.
What about Hillbilly Jim?
The WWF ones aren't quite as good, but I've watched some of those too. I really have. I watched Mr. Fuji's. I don't know how I got my hands on that. Yeah.
I didn't even know he was
across it. Well, of course. He was one of the great managers of all time, great heels.
He was a wrestler too. Fuji's in the Hall of Fame, though?
Well, you remember, I saw
him. Mr. Fuji, Hall of Famer.
He had some big time wrestlers right there. I think the parameters, not just for Harold Baines, but maybe for Mr. Fuji as well. The Hall of Fame candidacy is a little different.
Yeah, I get it.
The point is, with Carmelo, as much as I criticize him, and I just saw something, whether it was today or yesterday, the anniversary of Carmelo scoring 60 points, I believe it was against Miami, with no points, with no rebounds, and no assists. I mean, that's so Carmelo.
Right.
Do you remember that stat line,
wacky
one? He is definitely a basketball Hall of Famer. We can quibble about.
Well, it counts college as well, obviously.
Even if it didn't, he would be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt. I mean, he's one of the greatest scorers I've ever seen. I am not a huge. I really like him as a person, but I resent how he hijacked the Knicks organization too much, wasn't in great shape too often, was an awful and at times not even willing defender, was a chucker. But in terms of accomplishments, hey, Boeheim needed him to win that championship, which he did as a freshman, and he blocked. And what was the dude's name? Remember their big block, the three-pointer in the corner at the buzzer?
I'm forgetting it. I would know it once you said it.
Hakeem,
but
I'll remember it. He was a great college player for a year and a great scorer in the NBA. No, not Jones. No.
Phillips.
No.
Ashley.
Oh, come on.
Look at it, Hoff. Come on. No, wasn't it Hakeem Warwick?
I remember Fat Melo,
but that came after the fact.
Fat Melo was after the big man. Yeah, he was stiff.
Anyway, I can't say that much better myself. You and I, we disagree on a lot of things. We agree on some. I don't think there's a topic that we agree on more in unison with our thoughts than Carmelo Anthony. He was a great player. He was not a great Knick, and his style of play drove me up a wall. So I'm not saying he shouldn't be a Basketball Hall of Famer, because I think that he should.
No question.
I do not think he deserves to have his number retired by the Knicks.
That would bother me.
I also like his personality and think that I would love to chill with Carmelo.
No doubt. His pods are funny. He's loose. He's cool. He's smart.
I just wouldn't want him on my basketball team.
No, I would. I don't know if I'd want to play with him either, because I know I'm not getting shots. Yeah. Carmelo is interesting. Like, I'm not gonna go nuts if they do retire his number eventually. I wouldn't do it, but they better not do it before Bernard King. That's always been my pushback. Well, then I'm gonna go nuts. Now, I also think if I'm to close my eyes and really just isolate maybe three or four of the best pure scorers that I've ever seen in my lifetime, I think he's probably on the... I'll make it top five. I think he's probably there. I think Dirk
just
is...
Just scores.
Yeah. You know, like Kobe could do a little bit of everything. Score. AI is probably one of those guys. Of course, Jordan. But
Melo
Jordan did everything.
Melo was a bull hog, though.
No, he was. But he was a bucket guy.
Yeah, I mean,
you, not just... Even the first couple of years when he was with us, he was terrific. But go back to those Denver days, man. Yeah. He was unstoppable offensively.
He's also just symbolic of one of the worst periods of the Knicks' history. I know it wasn't the literal worst with him, and they had the 54-win season before losing to the
with
Pacers.
Woodson,
and
yep.
I get that, but still.
I know what you mean.
He was the guy that was the face of a less than return to prominence for the Knicks.
Yes.
I never thought it was as good as the 90s or good enough, but it was better than the absolute, you know,
better than the Stevie Francis, Marbury, Eddie Curry, Q Rich, Jamal days.
Yeah, exactly.
Nate Robinson, D. Lee. Shout out to those guys, but not a good team.
Come on. Yeah, Alfred Payton's team were better than... The first year with the Knicks, with Randall building it up to me, that was more respectable. Just before we get back to the calls here, Mr. Fujiwara was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2007. Do you remember who was the guy who inducted him in? He gave the speech, but who was the guy?
I think it was Don Morocco.
Yeah,
what's going on, baby? How's that?
Fuji Vice Co-Star Don Morocco.
That's impressive.
Now, Fujiwara was in a wheelchair at the time due to 9 knee operations. So,
do you remember him as a wrestler? I don't think you ever saw him wrestle.
I did, but as a manager that would occasionally wrestle.
Intervene?
Yeah,
or wrestle.
I mean, yes.
Like Bobby Heenan.
Yeah, exactly. Like Heenan wrestled in the weasel suit. Yeah. Or Heenan had to step in because Tully Blanchard had some contract issues, so he was a fourth guy on the Survivor Series team. I forget what year. So in a spot like that, Fuji is part of a three-man tag.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But I didn't know him before he was the manager.
That's the first time I saw him. Do you remember his old partner, Mr. Fuji and Mr.
No, I don't.
Saito.
Oh, Fuji and
dangerous
Saito.
Team. Very dangerous
team.
My grandmother, when I started watching, I told you, in around 1980, that was one of the main tag teams, the Moondogs, Fuji and Saito. I don't know if Saito did this, but Fuji would take salt. His gimmick was throwing salt in the eyes of people.
Yeah, I've seen that, and he did that as a manager, obviously.
He did.